Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Margaret Mishra from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I thank the management of Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited for the opportunity to host your Q3 FY25 earnings call. We have the following members of management with us today: Mr. Shobhit Uppal, Deputy Managing Director; Mr. Vikas Ahluwalia, Director; and Mr. Satbeer Singh, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to the management, Mr. Shobhit Uppal, Deputy Managing Director, to walk us through the quarter. Thank you all, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening, everybody. Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited, an EPC company, has announced the financial results for Q3 FY25. During Q3 FY25, the company has achieved a turnover of 951.95 crores and a PAT of 49.39 crores in comparison to a turnover of 1026.47 crores and a PAT of 70.66 crores during Q3 FY24. The company has registered a negative growth of 7.26% and 30.10% in turnover and PAT, respectively, during Q3 FY25 in comparison to the corresponding quarter, Q3 FY24. EPS of the company for Q3 FY25 is rupees 7.37 as compared to rupees 10.55 in Q3 FY24. During Q3 FY25, the company's EBITDA margin is 8.86% as compared to 10.90% and PAT margin of 5.11% as compared to 6.82% in the corresponding period of the last financial year. During the 9 months of FY25, the company has achieved a turnover of rupees 2882.79 crores and a PAT of 118.35 crores in comparison to a turnover of 2691.64 crores and a PAT of 175.69 crores during the corresponding 9 months of FY24. EPS of the company for 9 months FY25 is rupees 17.67 as compared to rupees 26.23 during the 9 months of FY24. During 9 months FY25, the company's EBITDA margin is 7.57% as compared to 10.56% and PAT margin of 4.05% as compared to 6.47% in the corresponding period. The net order book of the company as on 31/12/2024 is 16,258.44 crores to be executed in the next 3 years. Total order inflow during FY25 is 7794.37 crores. We are ready to take questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, sir.
Hi, Shravan.
Yeah. Sir, a couple of questions. So obviously, first, on the guidance front, so 9 months, we have done 7.1% revenue growth. So we were looking at a 15% kind of a number for this year. So how one can look at the full year or maybe the fourth quarter, if you can help us, how one can look at the fourth quarter growth and also at the same time for next financial year, how one can look at, because we were looking at 20%, can we now start looking at 25% kind of a number?
Shravan, while our order book continues to be very healthy, as far as this quarter and this financial year is concerned, you know, we've been hit as along with our other peers by the NGT bans in Delhi. 33% of our order book now comes from the NCR region. And, you know, what I had mentioned in my last call also, that, you know, we had expected that the NGT bans would hit us, but we had not expected that they would hit us so badly. That is the reason for sort of degrowth. I had said that, you know, we would, I had given a guidance of about 10% growth. We should be around that, we would be about 8.5%-9%. Fourth quarter is always the best quarter in terms of performance. As far as the guidance for the next year is concerned, it would be about 15%.
I understand that this quarter or this year is a low number, but next year, I think last time we have talked about close to 20-odd%, and now we are saying 15%. So are we seeing a slowdown in the execution or the big projects still have not picked up as expected?
In fact, we feel, and this is, I'm reiterating what I said last time, that, you know, next year we would be 15%+. Order book is healthy, and the slow-moving orders also are behind us now, or our larger projects like CSMT, the design issues should be behind us by the end of this last quarter. And from April, we should be logging a steady turnover, even in some of our larger projects. So, I think we are looking quite good to have not only a 15%+ growth and also a double-digit margin, or, you know, what I had projected last time, but that will happen in FY 2026.
Yeah. So coming to the margins, so in the fourth quarter also, can we look at the double-digit kind of a margin?
Fourth quarter, we are expecting a growth in the margin, you know, but we must keep in mind that, you know, January also has been badly hit on account of NGT. It is only now that the work has started in real earnest in February. In fact, the ban got lifted around the third or the fourth of February. So the first month of the last quarter has also been affected, but the margins will definitely be better. And we feel that the top line at the end of the year would have grown by about 8.5%-9%.
So next year also, on the max side, we are looking at 10%. Are we, is there a possibility that we can even clock 10.5% or maybe close to 11%? Is that a possibility?
We may. If you see, if you compare our results, if you compare the quarter-on-quarter results of Ahluwalia with our peers, we, if you leave L&T aside, we are the only company other than Larsen & Toubro, where our EBITDA margin has grown quarter-on-quarter. We've grown at 15%, whereas in most of the other construction companies, there has been a degrowth in the EBITDA margin. Our net profit has grown by 28%, right? So we are hopeful that, you know, the last quarter will be good, and next year our margins should increase.
Got it. And, on the, are we L1 in any of projects? And in the fourth quarter, how much more order inflow can we look at and for FY 2026?
You know, we've quoted for a few government projects and a few private projects. They are the government projects, the bids have yet not been opened, so we can't comment whether we are L1 or not L1 or where we stand. And we are actively negotiating with a couple of private sector clients for finalization. So yeah, there will be some order inflows. I can't peg a number, but there will be some inflows in this quarter.
For next year?
So next year, our order inflow this year has been close to, I think it stands at about 7,800 crores. So next year we are looking at a similar number.
Got it. Lastly, sir, balance numbers, if you can, suggesting, sir, can help. Inventory, trade receivable, payable, gross debt, cash, retention money, mobilization advance, and unbilled revenue.
That's cash position 246 crore and bank balance is 489 crore. Retention 351 crore.
351, okay.
Yes, mobilization 621 crore.
621, okay.
Unbilled revenue 572 crore.
572.
Okay. Inventory 324 crore, including 36 crore real estate inventory.
Okay.
Debtor 772 crores.
And payable?
And trade payable is 882 crores.
882?
Yes.
Okay. 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 Got it, sir. All the best and thank you.
Thanks, Kavan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, first question is, what are the levers available to us to ensure that the margins will increase next year? Why am I asking this question? Because the NGT issue and the GRAP issue in Delhi will be a regular feature now, right? Every year.
Yes. So specifically talking about levers, I assume you're asking not for the industry per se, you're asking for us.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know, as I said, some of our larger projects, CSMT being the bigger one or the biggest one, you know, the design issues are now slowly getting behind us. And, you know, by the end of this quarter, we hope we are seeing now that most of the approvals from the client would be in place. So we would be taking off as far as execution on that project is concerned. Secondly, you know, most of our slow-moving projects would have finished by the end of this quarter. Thirdly, you know, all the expenses, if you see, if you do a deep dive on our numbers, you know, our staff expenses are high. They've gone up to nearly 9%. On account of the NGT ban and the slow-moving orders. But now, when the projects will pick up, you know, this number as a percentage will come down. What I'm trying to say is we are well-stocked in terms of order book, we are well-stocked in terms of staff, and now the turnover will go up and, you know, the margins will increase. As regards NGT, now with the, you know, BJP being the ruling party in the entire NCR, we are hoping that, you know, there would be measures, concrete measures put in place which would reduce the disturbance on account of NGT. While we don't expect it to go away, but this year was exceptionally bad in terms of the Supreme Court stepping in, the work happening and stopping in fits and starts. We think that this would not be repeated next year. The industry is also coming together, making representations to the various governments. Now, the government at the center and the state being the same, we are hopeful that the industry voices will be heard and the work may not be impeded as much during the period from October till January.
Understood, sir. My second question is, sir, is there a cost escalation because of NGT issue and or is it just purely the loss of revenue? And are there any recourse available for us in this contract?
Look, NGT, though it's been going on for the last few years, it's not something which had been taken very seriously by our clients or by the government authorities. It's only this year that, you know, the various stakeholders have started to sit together and try and find out ways and means to combat it. So, you know, some clients of ours have started compensating for the labor which has been idle during this period, primarily from the point of view to, you know, prevent the labor from going back home. So these are some measures. There are measures which various stakeholders are thinking of. That's why I said maybe before the season sets in, the winter season sets in next year, you know, there would be more concrete and granular measures in place, which would help us combat this problem in a better fashion. But escalations, as far as this delay is concerned, other than the general escalation clause, there are no other specific escalation clauses.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. How is the labor availability now?
Labor continues to be in short supply, you know, and that is a phenomena which is something that, again, as I said, the stakeholders have started to sit together and see how they can combat this, maybe by more standardization, maybe by more mechanization, but it's not a problem that is going to go away in the short term. This is something which the government will have to look at. They will have to, you know, look at upskilling the labor. They will have to look at, you know, making this this profession more attractive so that more people come in from their hometowns to work in the large cities, tier 1 and tier 2 cities. So, but it's a problem which is here to stay.
And sir, our labor cost is up a lot despite single digit. I mean, is this labor shortage as well as idle labor both put together? Is that the reason why our labor cost is up more than the revenue growth?
The primary reason for the labor cost being up, I won't say it's labor shortage. The primary reason is on account of NGT. As I mentioned in my opening remarks and in answer to the first question, that 33% of our order book is now in the NCR region, which has been very badly affected. So idle labor due to NGT. So the idle labor has also contributed to our labor percentage going up.
Sure. Our finance cost is also up more than the, basically as a percentage of sales, it has gone up. So
finance cost is, it's not gone up quite a bit, but it's on due, it's on account of the, primarily on account of the mobilization advance, which is interest bearing, and again due to one project, which is the CSMP, where the work has been very less and the mobilization recoveries consequently have also been less. So that has contributed to this minor uptick in the interest cost or the finance cost.
Okay. Do you imagine next year again our margins could take a hit because of again this NGT thing?
No, I did. If you heard my answer to your predecessor's question, you know, the margins, we are very, very confident the margins will go up. Because, as I said, the slow-moving projects are behind us. Our larger projects are now taking off. And all the extra expenses that we had done in anticipation of these projects taking off, you know, we don't see any addition to those expenses. And obviously the NGT, we are hoping that period October to January next year would also be handled in a much better fashion by all the stakeholders, including the government.
Next. So what is the cash flow from operations for the 9 months?
Sorry, come again?
Cash flow from operations for 9 months.
Cash flow from operations. Cash flow, any specific? That's, I think so that is not available right now. But that cash position I have told already, 246 crore and bank balance is 488 crore.
Broadly 750-776. And in terms of the, you know, we are expecting, I think in the last one we said, we are expecting for FY26, we were expecting inflows of 5,000 to 6,000 crores. However, in the call, in today's call, we are saying will be same level of inflow as this year, which means we are in a way being more bullish on the next year. So what is driving that bullishness, secondly, which sectors within your view will contribute to this?
So as I said, this year we've had an inflow of about 7,800 crores and maybe a few hundred crores in the last quarter. And we think that this run rate should continue this inflow run rate should continue in the next year because we don't see any slowdown on the private sector side. And government also, I guess, with the budget behind us and now the, the focus on the next round of elections, Bihar, where elections are will be held in the end of this year, towards the end of this year. There's going to be a focus on infrastructure growth there, which we can see that. And since we are present there, we are present in Assam, we are seeing activity, the growth continuing. So we feel our order inflow would be on similar lines.
So you expect private mix to be substantially higher next year in the inflows compared to this
year? Yeah, we hope to maintain our plan is to strategically maintain an equitable distribution between the public and the private sector. This is what I've been mentioning for the last three investor calls, and we've got there. We are at about, I think we are equally divided between the two sectors now. We would maintain a 50-50 ratio.
Understood. Thank you so much for patience.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Khetan from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. So my first question is, our scale of individual projects have gone up over the last few years. And, most of our projects are now like at least the major ones are over 1,000 crores. Just wanted to understand, do the larger projects come with better margins and or working capital terms, or would they be similar to the smaller projects?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Conventional logic says that the larger projects should come with better margins. And that's what, but in the short term, the projects, because they're becoming larger, they're also becoming more complex. The timelines are getting shrunk. And the skill set or the skill levels in the labor force on which we continue to remain dependent to a large scale is dwindling. So it's a bit of a tightrope walk. In the long run, yes, the margins on the larger scale projects we feel would be higher. But in the short term, I think that will not be the case. That has not been the case and that will not be the case going forward. The government, as I said earlier, being a major stakeholder in infrastructure development, will have to step in as far as the skill upgradation measures are concerned and standardization measures are concerned. Once that happens, then of course the margins will be higher. Have I been able to answer your question?
Yes. And working capital would be similar?
No, working capital requirements are much more now because obviously mechanization is much more, the projects are becoming taller, as I said, more complex, more projects are now EPC projects. Even the private sector is trying to embrace the EPC model or trying to at least, look at it. Mechanization costs are higher, staffing costs are going higher, as you can see from the numbers of our balance sheet in these 9 months. It's more working capital intensive, which again, in the long run would make the entry barrier higher. So it may lead to, it will lead to, not may, a better margin for established larger players.
Understood. And secondly, we have a significant order book right now. Compared to the scale of our current revenues. As we, scale up and execute these orders, what sort of organizational changes do you foresee that you will require?
This had already, the changes in the organization had already started. In fact, I have been continuously mentioning in all our investor calls that, you know, Ahluwalia is nimble-footed and they had embarked on a, or we had embarked on a digital transformation drive 3 to 4 years ago, which is hemmed by our director, Mr. Vikas Ahluwalia. And, you know, we are now, as a part of that exercise, we are now well into, you know, SAP implementation. We are going live in a month or so. And this comes with slew of other measures where, you know, the company is now more data-driven. There are more analytics. So this had been started 3 to 4 years ago. And, you know, we would, going forward, we would be using AI also to look at various areas of operation. And the results are there for us to see now also. As I mentioned earlier, you know, our profits and EBITDA margins have gone up as compared to the last quarter of this financial year. So, and then we are investing in training and upskilling of our existing staff. There is a succession planning being done for every level. New talent is being groomed. So these are some of the measures that we have undertaken.
Got it, got it. And last question would be, what would be our fixed rate versus variable rate, you know, proportion? And related to that, in case of variable rate contracts, is labor also, are there clauses for escalation of labor costs as well, or is that only for material costs?
So there are different cost escalation formulae which are there in different contracts. In the government contracts, most of the contracts have the wholesale price index and the labor index, minimum wage index, based on which the escalation is paid. Almost all our government contracts, the escalation clause is there. Other than, you know, one project that we are executing for NBCC, which is a fixed price contract, which is also nearing completion. As far as the private contracts go, all volatile materials like cement, steel, raw materials like aggregate, sand, blocks, most of the private clients now have started putting in base rates. Based on which, you know, the cost escalation or de-escalation is a pass-through to the client. On a lot of, maybe to put a ballpark figure, 50% of contracts, the labor escalation is also paid. 50%, it is not paid. Private sector I'm talking about.
Got it. So it could be 100% for the government and 50% for private.
Yes, you can say that. But the volatile materials are covered.
Got it, got it. And what would be our current mix of variable versus fixed in the order book?
13% of fixed price contract.
So 87% variable and 13% fixed price.
Great. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, on the margin side, so we said that next year could be a double-digit margin. So could it be very closer to 10%, or we can even expect somewhere around 10.5-11% as well?
I think it should exceed 10%.
Okay. And so secondly, for Q4, we have mentioned that the entire year growth could be somewhere around 9-odd%. So it implies around 15-odd% growth in Q4. So what will lead to this uptick in the fourth quarter, given that Jan also has been impacted by NGT?
So what we are seeing starting February, you know, there has been a considerable upswing in our production across projects in NCR, right? And as I mentioned, you know, some of the clients paid for us to hold our labor on site even when the projects were closed. So we could just hit the ground running on 3rd or 4th of February when the NGT ban was lifted. So we are seeing that, or we feel that if we extrapolate our work in now in the first week of February or from 3rd till 10th, we feel that the revenue will go up considerably as compared to the last quarter, which would lead to a better margin.
So Q4 also should be, would be not a double-digit margin, it should be between 9 to 10%.
Should be, yes. It should be about 10%.
Okay. And sir, secondly, on the few bigger projects, so when do we expect to start the work on Gemstone Jewelry? Earlier, we were targeting somewhere around June.
Yeah, we are expecting that they will give us a notice to proceed in the next 1 to 2 months.
So any ballpark?
That's why I mentioned that, you know, starting the next financial year, work on gem and jewelry. Gem and jewelry, the actual work on the ground will begin because we have to start designing also. That will, so maybe towards the end of first quarter, actual work on the ground will begin. But in April, work on CSMT will be going on in real earnest. We would be working on a number of buildings there parallelly. And so see a substantial uptick on the monthly progress out of CSMT. Sorry, you said something?
Yeah, so we were targeting closer to 300 crores of revenue for FY25 from CSMT. So that looks a bit difficult. Given
no, that will not happen. We are looking at anywhere between 80 to 100 crores. That is something which has set us back in terms of our revenue guidance for FY25.
80 to 100 crores in Q4, right?
Yes.
And so
how much? No. In Q4, as far as CSMT is concerned, total in the quarter, about 80 to 100 crores in Q4.
And for FY26?
FY26, we are looking at about 750 crores.
And a similar figure for Gemstone Jewelry Park for 26 and 27, at least for 26?
Gem and Jewelry Park should be lesser. As I said, you know, the first 2 to 3 months would go in designing and approvals. And then it will take off. So maybe it will be about 500 crores.
So do we expect a similar, maybe could it happen that similar issues may come up in design and that can lead to maybe a delay in execution, like we saw in CSMT for Gemstone Jewelry, or we are confident that it should proceed on pace?
Look, there can be delays, but not to the extent that we've experienced in CSMT. CSMT A is a much more complicated project. It's a live station. B, it is hemmed by a nodal agency which is comparatively new, as compared to more established PMCs like NBCC and CPWD. Thirdly, the Gem and Jewelry Park project is not as complex. These are basically large sheds or offices where the gem and jewelry workers have to work. Though it's bigger in scale, but it's not as complicated. So we foresee fewer problems there.
And lastly, on interest cost, it should be a similar number in Q4 as well, at around 14-15 odd crores?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dalat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for opportunity again. Sir, our gross debt would be the similar 10 odd crore?
That is working capital, that is 5.93 crores, and in totality, including term loan, is 11 crores.
Okay, so 13 odd crore working capital plus 11 crore long term debt.
Yeah, long term debt, yes.
Okay, so close to 24 odd crore. Okay. Got it. And in 9 months?
Total,
so,
total 11 crores.
Total is 11 crores.
Total 11 crores.
Okay, got it. And in 9 months, how much capex we have done, and in the fourth quarter,
Hey, total in 9 months, 154 crore.
154?
Yes.
And in
and
the
fourth quarter,
how much we are looking at?
Our guidance is 175 crores.
175 crore, okay. So, sir, next year also, can we see the similar kind of capex?
No,
it will be lesser. It will not be as much. As I said, you know, projects, CSMP, DLF, all the other larger projects, the capex is, which will take off now, the capex is already been done. So, I think it should be about 125 crores.
Got it. And, sir, you mentioned that you have bidded for a couple of government projects and also having a discussion with the private. So any ballpark number in terms of the how many projects and the broader value combined put together everything?
Shravan, it will be very difficult because, you know, as I said, the government projects, the bids have yet not been opened, so we don't even know where we stand. On the private sector side, you know, the opening is not in the public domain and, you know, the decision is not necessarily L1. So, negotiations or discussions are happening. It will be very difficult for me to say right now or give an indication right now.
No, I was just trying to understand both put together, government, private, in terms of will it be the value that we have bidded from our side would be a 1,000-2,000 crore kind of a number?
In terms of the projects that we bid, should be about, I think it should be easily about 4,000 crores.
Okay, and then in terms of
maybe even 5,000 crores. Yeah, I think from the top of my head, the projects that have been bid till now and not decided would be close to 5,500 crores.
Got it. And further in terms of by March, how much more are we looking at? Well, considering will it be also 4,000-5,000 crore that are looking to bid?
Yeah, at least 3,000 crores.
Okay. Got it. And sir, this both the airport one there also the execution when
started. Both projects the execution has started. In fact, I think at Varanasi we've already clocked about 40 crores. At Darbhanga we've clocked about 20 crores.
Okay, and even the signature Global Business Park also there also the execution has started.
Not totally. The client has to hand over the towers to us after excavation. So they barely handed over 10% of the site to us. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, all this starting from the next financial year, for the first quarter of next financial year, all these projects will take off.
Yeah, so that's what actually I was trying to understand. So if the almost all the projects will start kicking in, we should be having a close to even more than a 20% kind of a growth next year. But you are restricting yourself to 15% plus.
You know me, we are always conservative. Yeah. Otherwise, you hold us accountable. No, that's why I'm confident that our margins will also go up and we will be having double-digit margins next year. We can already see the results, though there has been quarter-to-quarter, corresponding quarter-to-quarter degrowth, but, you know, if we compare to the last quarter of this financial year, we are extremely bullish. We can see that, you know, our margins have increased significantly.
Yeah, and sir, this is the last installment of MR of 56 odd crore that have been received.
Yes, it's been received, yes.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, Shravan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samir Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jain, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Hello?
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Sir, one question we had on CSMT was, there were some newspaper reports that end of December, they mentioned a 15% completion of the project, and they're quoting some railway authorities. Now, obviously, that is very different from the revenues that we have booked, right? So what would be the difference between how the railway thinks of project completion versus how much we book in terms of revenues?
So let me answer that, Shobhit.
Yeah.
You see, what is happening is that, because now the designs are getting finalized, so a lot of, this is Vikas here. So a lot of fabrication work of structural steel is happening, which is, say about, 40% is offsite and 60% is onsite.
Okay.
So if you consider that, which is actually the work not done, it is not being billed yet. There's a while to start billing it. So if you take that figure and 15% work done also, in their definition, means that a lot of area has been taken up, which is now, you know, we are doing the ground preparation, like removing the, age-old services, 100-year-old services, which are running under the station. So that work is taking a lot of time, and like, we've been saying from day one, Vikas, day one in the sense, like, four, five months, the design is taking a lot of time because it is a very complex system. Complex, complex.
Right.
Okay. You know, you are integrating a new building with a 100-year-old infrastructure. So there is, that is what is going. It will really beat our current, you know, thought of structural steel, nearly 5,000-6,000 metric tons of structural steel is under fabrication or fabricated and, you know, it's aside. So those numbers, if you go by, I can't say 15%, but yes, there is a considerable amount of work which is going on.
And to add to what Vikas has said, you know, 15% would tantamount to about 270-odd crores, you know, or if you take out the GST value, the project value is about 1,800 crores. It is tantamount to 270-odd crores. And we've already billed, acknowledged, and agreed billed figure with the client is close to 150-160 crores. And rest of, say, 100-odd crores, what Vikas has said, is work done but unbilled, because a lot of fabrication has already happened. So yeah. So this is, so maybe when they say 15%, this is sort of an intangible number. When they say 15%, they may be taking work in progress or stock into account.
Right. Right. I understand that. Thank you. My second question is, maybe Sandeep ji can answer this, is, you know, from a revenue recognition point of view, let's say if we have completed 5% of the value of the work at a site, do we recognize revenue to the extent 5%, or is there a minimum threshold we wait for before the revenues are booked?
No, the revenue is booked when the client passes a bill.
Right.
So what you said.
Yes, basically, what work has been executed that also includes revenue, includes also unbilled revenue also.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. But that happens as and when whatever work is completed, right? There's no minimum threshold. Let's say we'll start recognizing only at a certain milestone or a certain percentage completion. Even if it is 1% and client approves the bill, we book revenues.
That has been recognized through.
Okay.
No, no, he's not asking about escalation. Please repeat your question.
What happens in these EPC contracts, there is a stage-wise payment. So,
Right.
You know, this stage has to come. You know, then it can be billed also.
I see. Okay. So if the stage is after, say, 5%, then you book only at 5%. If it, the stage is at 1%, then revenues are booked, and then 1% stage is completed, right? That's the way to understand.
No, no, no. There is a mathematical, you know, it's not a stage of the work. There's a mathematical formula to this. So perhaps if you come down to the office, we can, you know.
Okay. All right, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so lastly, in the subcontracting cost, if we compare this quarter with the last two quarters, then there is, you know, some sort of a reduction there as a percentage of revenues. Does this have anything to do with availability of labor or, or any other metrics, because it's counterintuitive that in cases of labor shortage, subcontracting has come off a little bit.
Sorry, your question was not very clearly audible at our end. Could you repeat it, please?
Sir, on subcontracting costs, right now, if I look at the previous two quarters, we were at about 31-32% of revenues. This quarter, we are at about 28, a little over 28%. So what would explain this slight reduction versus the first quarter, especially in the light of shortage of labor continuing?
This basically that the subcontracting cost is coming out 31%. It's not basically you can say in technical terms subcontracting. It's also includes manpower supply and also labor contract. That's why that is amount is very high and percentage high.
Saying why has it reduced? Subcontracting, petty contracting, labor supply, this keeps on interchanging depending on the nature of the work. So, in one quarter, if the subcontracting number is, say, 31%, as you said, then subcontracting in contractor's parlance is work which includes material also, right? Say, for instance, if we've outsourced lift installation or escalator installation or aircon works, right? This is with material. So in the preceding quarter, maybe such works, outsourced works with material may have been slightly higher. So this number needs to be actually looked at in conjunction with the labor supply and with the material. That is why this figure needs to be looked at.
I think we should compare with the in our case.
Okay, so that explains. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hetan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question is on the NGT ban. So since when was the ban implemented?
It started in end October, November, around Diwali time. That is the time that, the air quality index starts worsening. In Delhi in NCR, and it has gone on till as late as the first week of February, and this time because Supreme Court also got involved, the ban was introduced, revoked, introduced. It happened in fits and starts, so there have been multiple stoppages from say end October till about February first week.
Otherwise, what would have been an end date like? Now it's going to
It is now dependent totally on the air pollution, the air quality index. As per the GRAP guidelines, there are different thresholds when different levels of GRAP guidelines kick in. So it's more or less automatic. When the AQI, say, crosses a certain level, one level of restrictions come in, it crosses, it jumps up further, another level, more stringent restrictions kick in. So when it crosses 300, the entire construction machinery comes to a standstill. The supply chain comes to a standstill because, the trucks cannot enter NCR region. So, and then once these guidelines are sort of revoked, then there is a logjam of trucks or materials at the borders. So it takes time for the pace to pick up again. Are you understanding? Want to clarify?
Yes. Just to compare, last year when was it like over the ban, and just to compare.
Yeah, just to compare. What this year, because there were, if you see the number of stoppages, starts and restarts were far more. So it's sort of the effect on the supply chain all around has been much worse, so to say. While the end-to-end duration may have been the same, but overall, the impact on construction work at ground as well as the supply chain has been far worse.
Understood. So my next question is on the number of projects bid, the value of projects bid, you mentioned around 5,000 crore. Sir, any flavor on what type of segment, which segment is this? Is this residential, commercial, or any such flavor would be helpful?
All residential, commercial, healthcare, and and hospitals, yeah, healthcare, yeah.
So it's across all of those segments?
Yes.
Understood. So my last question is on, are you seeing any slowdown in payments from states?
Not really. As I mentioned in the investor call at the end of the last quarter, I think, the slow-moving payment, this thing, Bengal, our government projects are over. Bihar, we are seeing an improvement since the BJP and JDU government has come to power. And Assam continues to be okay for us because same government is there at the center and the state. So that is where we are.
So no material change from
no.
Last quarter?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev Ganatra from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So can you give us what's the status of the DLF Harbour project and the Tata Memorial project?
DLF project, is now well underway. And prior to, it had taken off prior to the NGT ban coming into play. But, post the ban, that DLF is one of the clients where they've, compensated the labor for staying back. So when the ban was revoked and the work started, I think, on the 3rd of February, we hit the ground running. And in this month, we've already done close to 4,000 cubic meters of concrete there. So that project is, we see that seeing ourselves clock a healthy run rate there in the rest of this quarter as well as next financial year. We've done a total billing there already in excess of 200 crores. Which was the other project that you asked
Tata
about?
Tata Memorial.
This is 110 has been executed so far.
Tata Memorial, 110 crores has been executed.
Okay, sir. And sir, for next year, what is the kind of bid pipeline that we are looking to bid, like which segments, and if you can quantify that?
Residential, healthcare, commercial, and total pipeline should be in the region of about 25,000 crores.
Okay, sure. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
So after mobilization advance of 620 odd crores, what will be the interest bearing portion?
Just 43%.
And what was the mobilization advance as of September?
Just 621 crore.
I mean, as of September?
As of September.
I didn't get you.
You are asking the absolute number?
Mobilization advance as of September.
Absolute
number. This is 542 crores.
Okay. Sir, so do we expect this number to reduce next year, or it should be in similar range?
It should be in the similar range going forward. As I said, we are increasing our private sector order book. There, the mobilization is interest-free. So the company policy is to, take that. As far as wherever there is interest-bearing advance, we would try and, work without the advances. Say, for instance, the two airport projects. We have not availed of the advance. We are funding it from internal accruals. So going forward, we are working to reducing the finance costs, which is primarily on account of interest-bearing mobilization advances.
Okay. And so the recently raised that you have won on the residential side of 1100 crores each from the deluxe DXP and second or that of composite steel structural works. So those projects, when do we expect to start?
So those projects, as I said, will take off in the next financial year. While some little work has started on the ground, but as I mentioned in answer to an earlier question, DXP, Signature Global, the fronts, work fronts which the client has to hand over to us have not been done, barely 5%-10%. So they are a little slow off the blocks. We think they will start in the next financial year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everybody, for your insightful comments and questions, and look forward to seeing you again at the end of this financial year, our next investor call. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.